That's Bobby Porcelli on baritone sax, backed up by Tito Puente on timbales and percussion, as well, of course, as his Latin jazz all-stars with Charlie Mingus's hard bop piece, Moanin'. It's from Tito Puente's 1993 album, Royal T. That's just for the letter T. Porcelli is one of the biggest names in Afro-Latin jazz, having performed steadily with the big three of that genre, Tito Puente, Tito Rodriguez, and the great and legendary Machito, as well as other luminaries for many decades. And I really enjoy the treatment of Mingus's Moanin' by Porcelli and Puente. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we continue our discussion from yesterday. Of course, this is where you get the platform to chime in on the topic yesterday, which centered on the prediction that Sanders would be soon capitulating to Clinton and the Democratic Party in the name of party unity. And I also predicted that we will be witnessing the almost certain death of the progressive movement that he started, or you can say that galvanized around him. And I referred yesterday to the precursors of this. We've seen this before with Jesse Jackson's candidacy in 1984 and 1988. We saw it with Dennis Kucinich in 2004. We saw it with Barack Obama as well. So we see coming out of the Democratic Party so-called progressive voices that galvanize a full spectrum of constituencies, but somehow, when their campaigns falter or when they are defeated, at least numerically in the polls, in the primary process particularly, we see not just a folding, but also, more troubling, we see a different phase kicking in, a new phase kicking in, and it is the systematic dismantling of the architecture that could, if groomed, if cultivated, be the beginnings of a burgeoning political party, a political system, a political alternative. But the very people around whom these movements are centered and these constituencies are galvanized, they are the ones who they carry out the executions of their own movements at the behest, it would seem, at the behest of the party elite, and even their own private gains. We hear today that Bernie Sanders has been at the White House meeting with President Obama and other so-called leading Democrats, which means the process has picked up speed, the process of broaching this matter of party unity and what he is likely, meaning Sanders, what Sanders is likely to be asked to give up. And the question is, what will he give up? How will he conduct the end of this primary process? How would he make his exit? On what terms will he make his exit? So this is the discussion we're having today, and I'm looking to you as the political analysts that you are to give us a sense of what your reading is of where we are at this moment and what is happening and what should happen in your view. There's no right or wrong. There's just an informed and insightful analysis. And that's, of course, what we expect on this program. Informed and insightful analyses at 888-874-4888. So we are advancing the discussion from yesterday. We're bringing it current to today. Some developments are occurring. We see that the party, with Hillary Clinton clinching the necessary number of delegates, it is a foregone conclusion that when the Democratic Party convenes next month to go about the formal process of nominating a standard bearer to compete against a Republican standard bearer in the general election, that certain things would have happened by then. She has vanquished her lone opponent within the Democratic Party, that is Bernie Sanders, and therefore going up against Donald Trump, who has his own problems, and we should talk about that today. But we are seeing the effort being made here to the phrase party unity is going to, you know, besiege us. We're going to be inundated with that phrase. Party unity, just what the heck is that? And at what cost is it to this burgeoning movement? If you think there is a cost, and what therefore should our position be? What should we be thinking at this time? Your thoughts at 888-874-4888. We start in New York with Kwame. Hello, Kwame, you're on the air. Kwame, are you there?
Yes, hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, how you doing, sister?
Fine, thank you, fine, thank you. What are your thoughts on the issue?
I think that we should have a national boycott of the elections on that day. I think we should gather, it should be organized millions of people not to go to the polls, in, you know, making a statement that this election is illegitimate. Both candidates are illegitimate. They do not represent us. And we're tired of the same nonsense every 4 years.
Would a boycott of the elections not, in fact, be a good thing for the party, for both parties, the Democrats and the Republicans? They don't care how they get elected. They don't care. They don't care. It is immaterial to them. They care only that they are elected. So give me an idea as to why a boycott, in your view, would have some kind of dramatic effect.
Well, I can't say it would have a dramatic effect. But I think if millions of people show disenchantment, I think it might have some effect. That, you know, we're not going to participate in this, you know, in this chicanery that's going on here. I think the upsetting part is that you have been stating for the last two to three months, I mean, you have a so-called progressive socialist who has, what, is it 9 to 10 million people?
Mm-hmm. And he has
9 to 10 million people behind him, and he chooses to do just what, as you said yesterday and in previous shows, that previous sellouts have done, to basically bring these people back to the Democratic Party. Now, I'm not saying Bernie Sanders is the most aggressive candidate, and he's far from being a real socialist. But come on. I mean, you talk all this populist rhetoric, but you're willing to take the people back to the Democratic Party.
Is there any value, in your opinion, to Sanders saying, well, look, at the very least, what I could do is swing the party a little bit more to the left than it is right now and insist I get about five major concessions. Would it be worth it?
No, not at all. First of all, those concessions were not. Because those concessions are more likely, if he asked for five, only maybe one to come about. Maybe. I'm not saying it will come about. No, not at all.
So you're not hopeful. Your tactic would be to mount a national campaign to basically not participate in these elections, and the rationale being that you would declare the elections to be a fraud. And
And I would say that day, but millions. I say the millions. It should be millions who don't participate, but they take it to the streets on that day.
All right. Well, you got us started today, Kwame, with very provocative thoughts. I thank you so much for contributing.
I'd just like to thank you also. I saw one of my elected officials last week, Andre Story Cousins. He's a New York State Senator.
Yes.
And I was able to confront her about her support of Hillary Clinton. And I mean, the excuses that she came up with were just incredible.
Well, you know, this is politics, and we have to expect that. But thank you for getting us started today.
Thank you.
We're still in New York with Ali. Hello, Ali. You're on the air.
Hi, Professor. How are you doing?
You too.
My Professor, I do have a bone to pick with you today because the other day you were talking that some family members, they were talking about politics, and you say that they were talking about voting for Hillary Clinton, and you was just listening. So to me, you are educated. You're doing an excellent job with us, but you're not taking care of home. You're not doing an excellent job.
Oh, I've taken care of home so well that very often I'm by myself. They know me. They've known this for years, so they've adjusted.
Okay. But my comment to you about what you have been talking yesterday and today is that I have a millennial here. And I'm going to tell you, he bought a Bernie shirt. He actually contributed, I think it was $10 or $20 to Bernie. And I have to tell you, that millennial is not going to vote. He is staying home. So I have a hope in that group. I don't know if the elite is going to come out of that group, but I don't think Bernie is going to be able to swing the Democratic Party to the left. And even if they promises are promises, they just air. So even if they promise him anything, you know, we're dealing with Hillary and Bill Clinton. So I don't think anything's going to happen. So the best hope for all of us will be for this group to come up with a leader and put all these votes together. Even if they don't vote now, at least we will have some hope for later on, not only for us, but especially for them. Because the system is... Yes, go ahead.
Does Bernie Sanders at this moment have any credibility with his constituency to say, well, look, folks, even if he comes clean and he says, well, here's the situation right now. I have not gotten the requisite number of delegates to clinch the nomination. Hillary Clinton has. She also has bested me in the area of the popular vote. She has close to 3 million more votes than I do. The nature of politics is that there's a winner and therefore there is a loser. I happen to be the loser in this contest, but I'd still need your help and I still intend to continue. What would you say, what would you give to Bernie Sanders as a mandate even now?
Well, you, Therese, he doesn't have credibility, and I'm going to tell you why. If you saw some of those the debates, the so-called debates, he could have crushed her, I mean, right away, with Libya, with foreign policy, what she did before she became a Secretary of State and when she participated in the Bill Clinton administration. And he didn't do it. As a matter of fact, he was even defending her on those emails that she has out there. So what credibility? He has none to me, in my eyes, he has none. And another thing, I just heard somebody replay this morning on one of those shows that I listened to, a tape where Bernie actually said that he promised the Democratic Party, he promised them that he would never go out of the way not to support them. So right there, what credibility do we think that Bernie really has? What happened to Bernie, he saw all these young people every time that he had one of these rallies, so many of them that at the end he couldn't really pull back. And he had to continue because he was pushed out. He was pushed back. I mean, pushed forward. And another thing is, look, he already, I heard yesterday, he already started laying off some of the people that they have worked on his campaign. So to me, he has no credibility. I mean, he's just going to do what the Democratic Party is asking him to do. And that is what he's going to do. There is no other way. He thinks that he has too much to lose. Like, what is that gentleman from that you mentioned yesterday besides
Dennis Kucinich?
Yes, yes. Because look what happened to him at the end. They got him. They agreed his district, and he couldn't even win the election. So and he couldn't even go back to the House of Representatives. So right there, I think he thinks, and I don't know how much he has to lose because he's not a young man.
And, well, but the thing is that although he has been in the Senate, this race affords him a greater profile in the Senate. Would you go with the argument that this, even if he loses, even if he has lost this contest against Hillary Clinton, he still is able to carry the message because he will return to the U.S. Senate a more powerful leader there? Do you buy into that argument?
He could carry a message like he had been doing before, but the thing is that if she wins, and let's just say that the Senate becomes a Democrat, the Democrats, this woman, deep down, she is a Republican. Even though there's not that much difference, she will do what her husband did, and we have a list of the things that he did against, especially people of color. So I don't have any hope. Even if he carries the message, he will be crushed. Let's just face it. His voice, yes, we will hear him like we have been hearing for years, but I don't think he will be able to accomplish much. I don't have any hope. I do have to tell you another thing. But I do have hope on those young people that are out there because you know what? Like my son, he was disappointed with Obama, and now he's disappointed again with Bernie. So let's just see what's going to happen with this new group.
Yes, let's just see that. Thank you, Ali, for your contribution today. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Well, we're still in New York. What's going on? Is there any other state? We have Lawrence, Chris from Lawrence, New York. Hello, Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, Chief, how are you?
Fine, thanks. What are your thoughts?
And hello. Oh, first, hello to the PRN listeners and staff.
And thank you so much for that. That's a very nice gesture. Thank you.
Also, to piggyback on two of your callers, I think Ali was the last caller.
Yes.
My son, who is now 20, is also kind of disinterested in this particular, in these two particular candidates and doesn't want to vote. And even further than that, my 13-year-old daughter has also expressed, you know, she asked me if it was okay for her to not be part of the Pledge of Allegiance at school. And I asked her why, and she said because they have, she wasn't talking about the country in general, but she said the school doesn't seem to really feel any, they don't really show us that we're all together in this. They seem so separate and apart from us at all times. And I don't feel like the Pledge of Allegiance and the people I go to school with actually have any relationship with each other. And
where do you place
caller,
the where do you put your finger on the spectrum, the political spectrum of where we are as a group and where specifically Bernie Sanders is and what is likely to happen?
Well, I think I spoke to you some months ago and I told you that Bernie was going to simply take this energy that could have been used for a brand new movement that was going in a different direction. He was going to exhaust that energy. He was going to burn them out and leave them stranded. And he's doing exactly what I suspected. And to your first caller who had a good point about, you know, abstaining from this show, not voting or boycotting this political party nonsense, I think he's right, but there's a missing ingredient to that. You did ask him what would be the effect of that. I think that was the question you asked him.
Yes.
And I think at this time, the effect would be mostly symbolic in that for that to have a real effect. And I'm going back to what something Naomi Klein said one day when she was discussing, I think, the Patriot Act. She said, what happens in societies is that when we see a tragedy of some kind and there are changes to our laws, and it's usually because those ideas were prepared in advance and they were laying around. The people to implement them and the ideas that would kind of change our world are already kind of written down somewhere, and the people who are going to push them forward already have been groomed and prepared to move forward with those things once society is vulnerable enough for them to kind of push the agenda. And I think what we're missing here is someone in real time that can, in this perfect time, that could step in that place. I don't know that we have anyone, not that I'm aware of, excuse me.
So let me ask you
that
this.
That could step into that energy and use it.
Let me ask you, are our expectations unrealistic? Given what we know politics to be, is it unfair to burden Bernie Sanders with basically the job of creating this change and running a campaign at the same time? Is there no other person responsible for where he is at the moment?
Everyone is equally responsible for his current position, and he should be grateful, and he should be, again, should be, could be. He's not legally accountable to any of us. And, you know, and as far as the burden, should he be burdened? I don't know if that's a burden. It's his job, from what I understand. I mean, I'm at work right now, and my boss doesn't have to call me an hour or two into my job and ask me if I'm still doing what I agreed to do when he hired me. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you don't.
You're immediately accountable.
Yes, but it's okay. I understand that relationship, and you know. So I think accountable or burden, no, it's just his job. You know, big or small, your job is your job. You get up and you do it. If you don't do it, then maybe you should be fired. And I think that's something else we need, because we can't. And I hate to use this term, but when we say he pulled the party to the left, that's a joke. You can't pull anybody anywhere without some sort of legal mandate nowadays. If they're just having conversations about things in the air, that's not a pull. I think it's more of this distraction to make us believe that spitting these words in the air actually turn into concrete policy. They don't. And they're not, and they don't have to once they get into office. But to answer your question, yes, he should be responsible 100%. And if he doesn't live up to it, he should be removed, not just from this race, but from his job. Because that's exactly what I would do as a boss, and that's what I would expect my boss to do to anybody else working around me who doesn't do their job. It's your job. It's not this super amazing thing you're doing. It's just your job. Go to work, do your job, or give me the money. That's how I see it.
Amen to that. Thank you very much, Chris, for your call today.
Thank you. Take
888-874-4888. We're continuing our discussion from yesterday about the Sanders dilemma as he ends his official campaign. But with all these millions of votes, what is he going to do with them? This is the question we've been asking for months. What is he going to do with these votes? What is going to happen with this so-called movement? And are we seeing a repeat of other so-called progressives who surfaced at critical times in our political life? Jesse Jackson, Dennis Kucinich, Barack Obama, and now we have Bernie Sanders, and we have the same ending to their candidacies, and that is a capitulation to the Democratic Party, and in the name of unity against the Republicans, a lot of concessions that are contradictory to the intent and purpose of their movements to begin with. From Florida, Ray, you're on the air.
Hi, Patrice.
Hello.
Hello. I've always had a feeling that the consciousness level of Bernie's supporters are actually higher than Bernie's own level of consciousness. So I think that if he shows any signs of capitulating, I have a feeling that his supporters are just going to steamroll right past him or maybe even right over him.
And do what? If
well,
they were to steamroll over him, what would they do?
Well, hopefully continue to try and coalesce into some sort of new movement. I mean, that's what needs to happen. The Democratic Party is just intransigent. We don't need to make that case. But it's kind of like a rainbow coalition without the leader. I heard a speech of his this morning where he just did a little shtick thing after California, and he said, I congratulate the secretary for winning, And he was in a hall with his supporters, and they booed like you've never – did you hear that clip by any chance?
No, not yet.
They went nuts. They didn't – these people are vehement, that Hillary never. And so I think that they may try and, find someone younger, find someone who's going to take it further. There's a quote by Dr. Richard Allen Miller that I'm going to paraphrase. The original quote is that a teacher can only take you as far as they themselves have been. If you take out the word teacher and put in politician, I think that if Bernie doesn't take his crowd as far as they want to go, then they're just going to go somewhere else without him.
What could come out of the situation that you think would be beneficial right now?
I'm going to speak really generally. Something so monumental that even the controlled press is not going to be able to hide it. Sure, a march of war on Washington would be great, but it only is great if the cameras go there and cover it and say, hey, we got 5 million, kind of angry voters down here. But these days, Obama will plan to be out of town, and the news cameras don't show up, and it doesn't matter if you have a march. So it's going to have to be something else, and perhaps some sort of nationwide economic boycott.
Well, we heard today from Kwame, we heard from Ali, we heard from Chris, a kind of disaffection, an alienation of people who signed on to these campaigns with a lot of hope and with a lot of, optimism. Now, is that, in your view, is that a kind of wrong reading or a naive reading of what politics is? That people, it's a pragmatic thing. Granted, you have to be hopeful about something, but are people over hopeful? Are they losing sight of what politics is and becoming so emotionally attached to this illusion of progress and hope, but they're neglecting the pragmatic issues of what politics is all about?
No, But we do have a ridiculous expectation of hope as human beings. I think that's true. And then we rationalize it when we're disappointed. I always considered Bernie to be sort of 60% of the candidate that I would want if I was sort of sketching one freehand. You know, and I would say that Jill Stein is probably 90% of the candidate I would want. And the other 10% I'm probably not even willing to talk about. But I mean it. And did I get away from your question? I'm sorry.
No, you're heading in the right direction. The question is, are we being ourselves disillusioned? Are we disillusioning ourselves about what politics is when we have these high hopes and we kind of relieve ourselves of the responsibility and burden to make sure that the investment we are making is reasonably protected because we are wielding a cudgel even over the candidate that we're supporting?
Well, if anything comes out of this election cycle, it's going to be that the issue of campaign corruption and fraud is really in the limelight now. I mean, I saw a graphic this morning that said that in California there were 3.7 million votes cast in the primary. There were something like 22,000 polling places. And then if you do the math on that, that means that 155 people went to each polling place. You know, it's just... It makes no sense. The people that couldn't get ballots, you know, the people that you have to word the sentence just right. You have to ask for the crossover ballot. Otherwise, they tell you you can't vote. You know, this whole crooked system is now out in the open. And, you know, who knows what's going to come, you know, from this level of awareness. But I think people are aware now that it's completely crooked.
Well, coming back to Bernie, what is your position on Bernie right now?
You know, he was never my guy. I kind of watch it like I watch he's never been, I wanted him to move in for the kill. You know, when I was watching the debates, he let things go by that he could have jumped on Hillary and really, you know, made big headlines the next morning. And he didn't do it. And in terms of foreign policy, wow. He was asked last fall what he thought of Putin's moving into Syria. And his answer was so ignorant that it was stunning. He said, oh, I think it's going to end for the Russians just like it did in Afghanistan. And for him to say that and be running for president and not realize that Putin's Russia is not at all like Soviet Russia, I mean, how can you run for president and have a blind spot that large? It just, I don't know, that boggles my mind. So... I feel that his heart is in the right place in terms of domestic issues, but in terms of foreign policy, you know, I just shake my head when I listen to him.
Well, Ray, you certainly spoke for Florida, and you gave us a great deal to think about. Thanks so much for your participation today.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Let's go to Brooklyn, back to New York. David, you're on the air.
Oh, how are you feeling?
Fine, thank you.
Good, because last time I spoke to you, you had a cold. And I hope that came
off.
Yes,
it's still hanging in there. It's a stubborn one, but I'm greater than it, so it will lose.
Yes, you are. You had some good callers so far. Oh, I wanted to mention that I remember the guy's name right after I got off the phone with you about the plasma.
Yes.
Timothy Levengood, Levengood. Anyway, my position's... stands the same with Bernie, which I told you months ago, that he's going to just give it off to Hillary. And right now, the Obama administration is not endorsing Hillary because they got to meet with Bernie Sanders, I think, today. Then they're going to set him straight, and he's going to toe the party line. And everything's going to be just wasted, like I said it was going to be.
Well, what does that say, therefore, about this burgeoning movement? Do you think people are just going to let it go, or is there any sign that you see that they will continue it?
I'm sure some will continue, and some will just let it go and be too frustrated to continue. Because some of your callers are saying it's very obvious that it's rigged and the system is broken, but there's still many people out there who have been so misinformed, they're ostriches. So they don't really even know what's going on.
What are you inclined to do in this election cycle? What are you inclined to do now that you have seen or you're seeing the ending of Bernie Sanders' official campaign? What do you expect to happen, and how is it changing your political outlook?
I still have the same political outlook. It's bleak. Because since things are rigged, and I have no power to do anything, since I told you I got rid of almost every friend I had. And I did mention months ago what your first caller said about boycotting, but that's impossible because there's so many people who think it's an obligation that they have to vote. But nobody voting would be perfect. It goes up on the screen. No votes for Trump, no votes for Clinton.
So are you in line with the suggestions that we have gotten so far today from people like Kwame and Ali and Chris that basically, stay away. They're opting out. Are you opting out?
I've already opted out. Give me somebody to vote for and I'll vote for him.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, David, for your call today. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to Rosedale, New York. Jose, you're on the air.
Greetings, my professor. How are you? Well, I hope you're in great health. And
thank
as
you.
Always, ancestral blessing be upon you at all times.
Thank you so much for that. Well, what are your thoughts on the topic today, and which we began yesterday, about what Sanders is likely to do? And are we seeing a repeat of the Jesse Jackson, Dennis Kucinich, or Barack Obama syndrome?
Well, I would say yes to that. But then I would also like to I would like to remind you that some time ago I told you that there are two forces in this world, good and evil. And I'm of the opinion that evil has won a long, long time ago, right? And I've been watching this conundrum played out before our very eyes. And as I said on one of the last time I spoke to you, that I went out and I cast my ballot for Bernie Sanders. But when I entered the polling station, I somehow had this sinking feeling in my stomach that I was one of the many millions of suckers who entered this place to cast my ballot. And I did it merely because I didn't want to seem to be ungrateful to the memories and the blood, pain, and suffering of those ancestors that went out there and believing that the vote is the access to the ballot is something that will set us free. And they didn't realize, I don't think at the time, that just having the right to vote, that is not where the power really lies. And you mentioned a moment ago about politics and hope and so forth. And for me, politics should not be about hope. Politics should be about power. People having the right to power, to control their destiny, control the resources of their nation, of their community, and so forth. And we seem, the people of America, it's not just Africans in America, but the people in general, most of us are just suckers and lambs being led to the slaughterhouse. And this system has been getting away with it for centuries. And there have been some folks that have tried to change the system, but it is too far gone. And you cannot correct the system, because I believe it has to be totally disemboweled. It has to be totally destroyed, and something else comes up out of the ashes.
Well,
and,
you've given us the overview. Let's go specifically to the question of Sanders, mm-hmm. where he is now with respect to the Democratic Party and with respect to this movement of sorts that galvanized around him, what should be done at this point, in your view, to salvage something that would be of benefit politically to that constituency that supported him? Or even, do you even see that as being possible?
So you're thinking that maybe coming from him or from the people?
You tell me what you see.
Well, I want to believe that Senator Saunders will be trying to hash out some hard bargaining when he meets with the president and Hillary Clinton. I want to believe that that is what he is planning to do. But my deep down, something is telling me the die is already cast. And he has capitulated, just like Jesse and others who have been in that position before. But I think the people need to create a movement. You have to cut your losses. And we know that this here is a done deal. But we have to find people that is committed enough to try to take this movement, appeal to the movement that Senator Saunders has created, and see if we can take that movement into a progressive direction and see if we can build our forces, build a movement for the future. Because this is already a done deal. But as I said, I'm hoping that Mr. Senator Saunders will do some hard negotiating, and many of the policies that the Bonnie and Clyde of politics have planned for the American people, that you'll be able to alter some of them and try to create, we can work with that and create a movement moving forward. But other than that, I don't see what else we can do. You know, because we don't have any leadership that I've seen so far that has decided to step forward and to try to salvage what is there of the Bernie Sanders movement. I haven't seen it yet. I am hoping that will come out of the embers of what he has created. But for me personally, my casting my vote for the Democratic Party is going to be dependent upon what I see comes out of this meeting with Senator Saunders and the Democratic Party. And I am not satisfied with what I see, then my plan is to find somebody else that is, I believe, seems progressive, somebody, and cast my ballot for them, because as I said, I don't want my ballot to go as a totally wasted ballot based upon the fact that those that have gone on before us who have sacrificed so much. I don't want to walk away and say that I just did not go to the polls and I did not cast my vote.
All right. Well, thank you for your contribution today, Jose. Greatly appreciate it. Let's go to Florida again. Eric, you're on the air.
Hi, Utrice.
Hello.
Good to hear from you. I feel that Bernie Sanders is working for Hillary, and it's been that way from the start. And in the very beginning of this primary, he spoke about the emails, we should forget about them and let's talk about other issues. So it seems to me they've been building Bernie up to be like a viable candidate. It's only been two people on the Democratic side and 17 people on the Republican side. So it's just showcased him to build him up, because I think she plans to use him as her vice president and they want to get all these votes. She thinks that she's the queen of the United States, like Queen Elizabeth over there, and Bill Clinton does whatever he wants, and Chelsea's her little princess, and this is what we're facing. And
so
Bernie,
you
came
think
out today,
that if that's what you think, what do you think then of the millions of people who supported Bernie Sanders? And what could possibly be the motive for them to do so. If you were able to pick this up, what do you think is the reason that they didn't pick it up?
Well, you know, it's like we don't pick up a lot of things. You know, we keep eating bad foods and we keep breathing the air the way it is. We've been manipulated. It's like aliens took over 30 years ago and we've just been manipulated. And it's hard to see through it. But it's all coming to a head now, because he had a meeting with Obama today, and now he's coming out. He's going to do everything he can to make sure Trump doesn't become president, because he's working for Hillary. And the people don't see it because they made it look like he was somebody else beside Hillary. So who else did you have to go to? You only had
Bernie.
But
look at it this way. I mean, the president is technically the head of the Democratic Party. So it is part of his job to make sure that a Democrat wins, and he's doing that job. He also might be fulfilling the contract, the longstanding contract he's had, being a creature in a way of the Clinton machine himself, and he is basically tending to that contract and making sure that he carries through with that commitment to see that her political future is secure. So, and they all have a vested interest, it seems to me. That's the shared vested interest that they have, to make sure that the administration remains in Democratic hands. So in a sense, you could say this is politics. This is the essence of politics. It's about assuring longevity, party longevity, and they're just doing what they're supposed to be doing. The question then is, about you and decisions that you would make as a voter, decisions that you and your community would make as voters, and how you interpret this whole system, where we are now. What is your view?
My view is I'm going to be 62. I lived in Brooklyn for 58 years. I drove a taxi for 25 years in Manhattan. I never voted. When I was 11, I watched Kennedy's head been blown up on the TV screen. And I have no faith in any of these political system, because each person that came after Kennedy was seemed to be the same thing, worse one. Didn't matter, Republican, Democrat. What it comes down to is we have to take care of ourselves, right? And the people that listen to this station, listen to you and listen to Gary Null, we're a minority of what this big thing is all about, and we have to take care of ourselves, and we shouldn't waste all our energy worrying about Hillary and this and that, because they're all crazy and they're all trying to mislead us. And just like you're taking care of yourself and going away from the doctors and the hospital, you're taking care of yourself naturally, and it's working. We have to take care of us. It's the same in everything in life. You have to take care of yourself. That's what it comes down to. So we have stop wasting our time with this nonsense of this reality show that they call the primaries, and now it's going to turn into the presidential. It's just disillusioned me to the point that I don't want to hear about it anymore. And we should go on with other issues that are more important to us, people that listen to the station. And little by little, we should just try to help each other.
But at some point, Eric, I appreciate your view, but at some point, do you not see that because of the way things are organized, the way society is organized, politics is not just about self. It is also about shared interests and shared community and shared power. So how do you achieve that if you're just saying, well, take care of yourself?
Well, I mean, as individuals, we have to be responsible for ourselves. We can't depend on the system to do good things for us, because it hasn't been that way since the 60s, really. And back in the 60s, it looked like it was the society was getting benefits from the government. They were doing things to help us, to make us more comfortable. And then something happened after Kennedy was assassinated, and it all changed. And it's just been, we're just a bunch of cattle for them to use us whenever they want to use us. I understand what you're saying, Patrice. We have to build some kind of a forum and you know be you know involved in this politic thing, but it's too big against us now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need something supernatural to happen. That's the only thing I can see us getting out of this mess we're in. But until then, we have to just try to be healthy as we can and love each other and take care of our kids and do the best we can as individuals to, you know, to overcome this evil system that we're involved in. You know,
Thanks so much for your call today. I enjoyed talking with you, and thank you for your contribution. Let's try Nathan from New York. New York is winning today. Hello, Nathan. You're on the air.
Yes, you choose Lee's, and I always wish you the best of health, and I continue to pray for you in the morning and the night that your health is complete and you would be a shining example for others to follow.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Yes, yes, and also best of health to the PNR, to the NPR listeners, too. My sentiments are about the same as the other callers that have called in. I don't see anything changing with this Bernie Sanders because I believe at the convention he's going to throw his support behind Hillary. And it's just going to be the same mess with either Trump or Clinton. And I really feel that the people that are backing Bernie, they really should form their own party. There's a lot of people supporting him, or just strengthen the independent party, or back someone like Dr. Jill Stein, that has a wonderful program, you know. So. And another thing too, a little bit off the topic, but I'm going to send you an email pertaining to that book that you were interviewed in. It's a book called I Dream a World. And I'm going to send you an email probably either tonight or tomorrow. And it's about the person who interviewed you.
Hmm.
And,
I said, Okay. Well,
yeah.
I thank you for your contribution. And
yes.
We come to the close of the program. Thanks so much for your call and your participation today. We will continue tomorrow because tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday. Still a lot of stuff to discuss and many, many people in queue. So we couldn't get to you today, but definitely tomorrow is the open forum, our customary open forum, where we trade in ideas, opinions and ideas. So let's save those of you who didn't get in today. Certainly, I ask you to forgive us for not being able to accommodate you today. But the thing is, I didn't want to just have you on and then interrupt and then, you know, watch the clock. You get room to stretch out, which is the whole point here. So we will see each other tomorrow. And on Free Your Mind Friday, and you're perfectly free to discuss whatever it is you want to put before us for consideration and debate. And that is the whole point of creating community. I loved the suggestion by Ray and Eric today about building our community and supporting PRN. And the programming here, which is the whole point of it, the point of it being to grow a community and to encourage people to feel good about putting their ideas out there for inspection. And we have to get more and more used to doing that and, you know, just get rid of the fear associated with that and to be comfortable about occupying intellectual space. You are entitled to that. And that is why a full day of programming on this program is devoted strictly to what you're thinking. And if I had my way, it would be that way every single programming day. But I thank you so much for the clarity of your ideas, the great insights that you have offered us today, and most importantly, the dignity and respect with which you present your ideas for our consideration. Thank you so much for that. It really means a lot to me. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. You can reach me at leadstories, L-E-I-D, stories at gmail.com. And as always, you know, it's a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.